Yes, amen. I'm convinced more and more my number one sin is unthankfulness.
Yes.
I've got so much. I've got so much, and I skip over it many times and don't even notice. Brother Caleb, would you pray for us, please? We in Revelation. How many revelations are there?
One.
Anybody but the preacher. Who wrote it? God wrote it. That's right. And what did he do with it? He gave it to Jesus. That's right. He gave it to God the Son. What did the Son do with it? Gave it to the angels. That's right. What did the angels do with it? Gave it to John. Well, what did he do with it? He gave it to us. That's right. How many themes? Two, give me one of them. We're going to adore His person. What else? We're going to accept His plan. I accept the plan, and I adore Him this morning. Okay, well, open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. Open them up to Revelation. Last week we were on chapter 6, and we learned, we're going into the judgments now. We left heaven 4 and 5, we were in heaven. Now chapter 6, the scene came back to earth, and there's going to be some judgments on earth. God is going to flail the sin out of Christ rejectors. And He's going to use three series of judgments to do that. Chapter 6 had most of the seal judgments. And the seal judgments, the world, during the seal judgments, the world is ruined by man. And like we mentioned, communists, you know, and stuff like that. Under the trumpet judgments, which is coming up, the world is going to be ruled by Satan. And then later on, before chapter 19, the vile judgments, the world is going to be rescued by God. He's going to come in and take over. He's not going to take sides. He's going to take over.
Right.
And then in chapter 6, also in verse 12, we saw the world's greatest earthquake. It said, I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun was black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Then in 13, we saw the greatest cosmic disturbance. It says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Verse 15 and 16, we saw the world's greatest prayer meeting. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. The only problem there, they was praying to the rocks and mountains. They should have been praying to the Lord. And this is a picture of the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? What if it had been the wrath of the Lion of the tribe of Judah? He's just flexing a little bit. It's easy for God. He can do this with one hand behind His back with His eyes closed. He's all powerful. He can do it. Okay, now chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, until, we'll see in a little bit, until. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till. They're holding back the winds of destruction till God says so. Till God says so. He said, we have the sealed And we have the sealed, the servants of our God in their forehead. Angels are strong.
Right.
It's a fact. You ever try to carry a piece of plywood? How about when the winds blow? They're holding the four winds, the north wind. One's holding the north wind. One's holding the south wind. One's holding the west wind, the east wind. Angels are strong. The Lord made them. Psalm 148, verse 8. The Lord made them, and He told them, and they do what He says. All of creation obeys God except man. 148, verse 8. Fire, hail, snow, vapor. Stormy wind fulfilling His word. They're going to hold those winds until the Lord says.
Yes.
That's how long they're going to hold them. And then that seal, it's a seal of ownership. Remember a couple chapters back, there was a book with seven seals, and the seals were used for documents of life and death. For important documents, the king would put his seal or stamp on there and seal it up. And you know, you've been sealed. Ephesians said, we've been sealed. We've got a seal. Verse 4 now. Now we're going to look at the world's greatest preachers. We saw the great prayer meeting. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, you hear this number a lot. It's tossed around by the world, by the lost world, just like they picked up on the word Armageddon, and they toss it around. But these are 144,000 Billy Sundays, if you will. And notice also that they're Jewish Billy Sundays. As far as I've read that right now in the world, there's only 35,000 missionaries
right.
of every stripe, of every denomination. But here there's going to be 144,000. That's about four times as many missionaries. And cults like to pick up on this number. The only one I know of is Jehovah's Witness. They used to say there was 144,000 of them until they passed that number. And then they quit saying that. And I think others have picked up on that. But don't miss this. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Any questions on that? I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Could you help me there a little bit with that? It says there's going to be 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. They're going to be Jewish. They're going to be Israelites. It's not going to be me and you. It's not going to be our neighbors around us. Well, you might live by an Israelite. I don't know. I might know one. That's verse 4. Verse 5. And here's more proof. If you need more proof, they all come out of a tribe. Remember when we was on that Old Testament access talking about you come up to the temple there. You want to go in and worship. If me and you tried that, the first thing they're going to ask is, what tribe are you from? Well, you go, I'm going to have to tell them Cherokee. Kim's a Cherokee. Verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000. Those are Israelites. These are all Jews. Of the tribe of Reuben, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. Any questions on this 144,000 being Jewish or not being Jewish?
No.
They're not just Jewish. They come out of a specific tribe.
Right.
These are 144,000 Jewish Billy Sundays is what's going on here during a tribulation period. Now, Judah was first here in this list and not Reuben, although Reuben was born first. But it's in that order because of sin. It got changed around. And then Dan is replaced by Manasseh because of idolatry, because of sin. Judges 18:1. Again, the Lord does what He wants to. Sovereign is what Brother Steve says. Judges 18:1. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And some say because of that, and then also here in Genesis that maybe, I hate to use that word, I highlighted it on your paper, maybe the Antichrist might come from the tribe of Dan. I don't know that. It's the general consensus. Genesis 49 is another point on that. Verse 17. Now, verse 16 said he's going to be a judge. But then starting in 17, Exodus 49, 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. It looks like he doesn't have it. It looks like. Now, so here's our 144,000. In verse 9, we got the greatest multitude converted.
Right.
Verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. I'm sure the Lord knows how many. No man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now we already said anyone that heard the gospel before the rapture will not be saved during the tribulation.
Right.
That's been said about three times here lately. But these had not heard, evidently, before the rapture. There's going to be people saved during the tribulation period. Matter of fact, right here is going to be a number that no man can number. It's going to get redeemed. It's going to get redeemed. Their number is countless. Let's look at it in Matthew 24:13. But he that, this is when this verse comes in. A lot of maybe your neighbors, my neighbors like to use this verse now. It doesn't fit in now. It goes in another dispensation. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's what it'll be like during that time. Now, I've said that wrong before. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get this cough drop. I've got all that drainage going on. I've said that whenever the church goes up at the rapture, the Holy Spirit won't be here no more. Well, He will be, but it'll be like the Old Testament,
right,
like before Pentecost.
Right.
And so these are going to get in. There's going to be a great number. Now, let me ask you this. Who are they? You'd be thinking about that. And I hate to tell you this, but back when I was a teenager, my parents took me to a movie. And that's the only time they ever took me. They took me to see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you remember or know anything, they'd robbed so many trains that they brought in a special federal posse this time. It wasn't just a regular posse. And they jumped off the train already on their horses, and they chased them farther than Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid had ever been chased before. And they kept looking back, and they'd say, who are those guys? Who are they? Oh, I'm asking you, who are these? Who are these guys? Like we said, the Holy Spirit's in the same capacity He was in the Old Testament before the day of Pentecost. And this, the triumphal entry hadn't happened yet. Sometimes in your Bible, in some Bibles, you might have a picture of the Lord riding a donkey into Jerusalem. They're throwing palm branches in front of Him and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, that wasn't the triumphal entry. That was the triumphal exit. That was to the cross to exit and get out of here. It's about time for the triumphal entry. It's about time for him to come back now. He's going to take over. He's going to take over. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. That's these redeemed that's saying this. The number that no man can number. And 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders of the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory. It's what redeemed people say. It's what the redeemed is saying. Yeah. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. So be it. What these do, these redeemed, they're praising Him for His grace. See, they know how they got in. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. And they know that. They know it. And they're motivated. And they're thankful for God's government. And they're thankful for God's grace. And they're thankful for God's gift of salvation. And their worship is their delight. I'm talking about redeemed people.
Yeah.
They're glad about it. They're glad to worship. It's their function. It's their ceaseless function. They do it forever, 24/7. They're worshiping the Lord. It's their deathless delight. They're glad to worship. They're glad to do it. 13 and 14 is their background. Who are these guys anyway? And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Who are they? Who are these guys? Now, Brother John, he'd done something here I wish I'd have done. He said, sir, thou knowest. He said, I don't know. He said, I don't have a clue. You tell me. He said, I don't know who they are. And he said to me, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Their nationality. There's no tribe or tongue missing here. It's whosoever will was the ones that got in.
Amen.
Now you might be thinking today you're a mean, dirty sinner. Well, that's wonderful. That's the only ones that can get in.
Yeah.
That's the only ones that get in. That's the only kind He saves, and that's all of us.
Yeah.
By the way, I like what Brother Doug said. My very existence is a stench in God's nostrils.
Yeah.
Proves that I'm a sinner. I don't have to do anything to be a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Right.
The gospel is not God asking us to give or do something. He gave something. He did something. That's the gospel. It's clear they're not the church, because we done learned the last 2 weeks that the church didn't come through the tribulation, and you all agreed.
Right.
It's not the church. If it had been the church, John would have recognized it.
Sure.
He represents the church. This is not the church. These came through the great tribulation. John would have known. He said, search me. I don't know who they are. He said, I don't know. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of God. There's three groups. There's three groups, is all I can tell you. Their service is in verse 15. See, the Lord has other sheep. Verse 15 is their service. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Their service is continual. Their nature is victorious and virtuous. We already heard this morning about living a clean life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's what they do. They're in the front seat in the innermost court of heaven. They're on the other side of death now. You know, looking back, death ain't that bad.
Yeah.
They're not only there to see, but to serve. Their blessings is in verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more.
Right.
Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. They're properly rewarded by the highest dignity himself. Then verse 17 is the greatest lamb.
Yes.
For the lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters.
Amen.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is the other side of this. John 10:16. John 10:16. And others, this is Lord Jesus talking, red letters. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold.
Yes.
Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord can do whatever he wants to.
Yes.
Now one more thing here. The church is not identified with the temple. These redeemed here are in the temple. And it's up in verse 15. A day and night in his temple. The Lord's going to rebuild a temple in Israel, but we're going to be in the New Jerusalem. Now, some benefits and blessings of being redeemed. Anybody happen to be redeemed in here? Well, number one, we saw part of it here. They stand before God's throne. Get your Bible ready. Matthew 13:43. You can read it off the board if you want to. Matthew 13:43. There's some benefits and blessings of being part of the redeemed. Matthew says, then shall the righteous shine forth. You're getting ready to shine. You're getting ready to be glorified.
Yeah.
It's what's going to happen. Going to shine forth as the S-U-N in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 25:34. Still in Matthew 25:34. There's some blessings of being redeemed. Some benefits. 25:34, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. See, it's about time. It's supposed to be 25:34. Then shall the king, capital K king, the big king, the redeemed's going to be there in the court. Looking at him. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, capital F Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Luke 19:17. Luke 19:17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. It's where it's going to be divided up right here. We hear about it, but it's happening right here. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God. We just opened the reliable historical documents to read the last will and testament. That's what we're doing. We're reading to see what all we get in on as redeemed. And if children, any children in here?
Yeah.
Then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Everything Jesus gets, we get.
Yeah.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorification is a doctrine. It's not right now. But in this chapter it is, we're headed to where this is at. 1 Peter 1:11. It's just some benefits, some blessings of being redeemed. 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, that was first, and now the glory that should follow. It's in chapter 7. It's part of the benefits and blessings of being redeemed. It's in Revelation 3:21. This is where you're headed. To him that overcometh. Remind me who an overcomer is. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Anybody like that in here?
Yes,
you're an overcomer. To him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. One benefit is you get to stand before the throne of God. Anybody ever done that? I didn't think so. We talked a while back. See, I haven't even ever seen a throne. And we're going to be standing before the throne. The throne of God. It's so big, we'll be in it. They get to serve God day and night. John 12:26. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there also, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's where we're headed. That's chapter 7. We're talking about the benefits and blessings of being redeemed. Chapter 14, John 14:3. And if I go, did he go? And prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're headed to where he's at. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Anybody in here serve Him? Just watch your head. They're going to read the will, and you're going to get your inheritance. Everything Jesus gets, you get. They have God in the midst, 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. He's right in the middle. For our light affliction. Say amen again right there, Brother Ted. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We're headed to glorification. We're not there now. We're not going to be glorified right now. Not today. Not in this body. Philippians 1:23. We're headed for it. It's in chapter 7. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. It's going to be divided up, some 10 cities. Hey, we'll hunger no more. Matthew 5:6. Again, Americans might not think much of that. Matthew 5:6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray. And No. Oh, 6:5. A little dyslexia kicked in there. 5:6.
Yeah.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you hungry? For they shall be filled. They'll thirst no more. It's what John 4 says. And it's for the lambs in the midst, Psalm 23. 1 and 2, like Brother Doug said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. This is where we're headed. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 10:11 and 14. The good shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25. This is some benefits and blessings of being redeemed. Is anybody redeemed? 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And then chapter 5, verse 4. See, he's going to be there. The big shepherd's going to be there. 5:4 in 1 Peter. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. These are benefits and blessings for the redeemed. It happens in chapter 7. The Lord's going to feed them. There's going to be living fountains of water. And then here's the last point. Maybe we can stand it this long. Isaiah 35:10. How about no more sorrow?
Yeah.
Anyone experienced any sorrow? Isaiah 35. Well, there won't be any when you get to chapter 7. It'll be over with. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed. The one that's been bought, that's been redeemed, is what we're talking about. Redeemed out of the slave market. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You can start getting ready for it. You can start preparing. Chapter 51, Isaiah 50, it's a promise from the Word of God, how the reliable historical documents. Chapter 51, verse 11, Isaiah. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord, any redeemed in here, shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. This is some benefits and blessings for the redeemed. Even if you're redeemed out of the tribulation. Doesn't matter where you're redeemed from. Chapter 60, Isaiah 60:20. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. No more funerals, no more funeral homes, no more mourning. Chapter 65, verse 19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. This is chapter 7. This is where we're headed. We'll actually get it a little bit before then. Jeremiah 31. More, a little bit before those guys. Whoever those guys are. Jeremiah 31:12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, the big Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Revelation 21:4. This is where we're headed. These are benefits and blessings for the redeemed. Those that's blood bought, been bought back out of the slave market. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for buying us back. Thank you, you did something, and we can't do anything. You're the Lord. Thank you for writing it down for us in the will, in the last will and testament. In Jesus' name, amen.